Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 24th. I had the wrong page of notes open. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Jacob Jones. How you doing, Jacob?
Hello, I'm doing good. I could scream over the backyard fence about my excitement right now.
Yes, we are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 19 in the house, and it was a very slow day at first. They were kind of chilling outside for a long time, but late into the night, we got a lot of juicy content to talk about. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what happened yesterday. Tyler and Christmas were talking. Tyler mentioned that Danny is playing a very good game. Nobody in the house would target her. You got to watch out for Danny.
I like that he does it because he's mentioned it time and time again to different people throughout the course of the 19 days. Putting that bug in people's ear. I'm hoping at some point it will catch fire and just like light a big match. But I haven't seen it catch up yet. But I do like that he's like putting that in different people's ear at different points in this game, the 19 days that we're in.
Yes. And he continues to talk with Christmas. Christmas has noticed that Davon and Kevin have been up late talking in the hammock multiple nights in a row. Tyler has noticed it as well. And they're very like, what are they doing? What are they talking about in that hammock?
It's like the late night jamboree sesh, I guess. Because I feel, and even yesterday, we saw Ian, we saw Nicole, we saw like four people in the hammock as well. But it's always a thing of just like people in the hammock, and then what are they talking about? How about y'all go over there and join them, and then probably, you know, you can be in on whatever they're talking about. And so I don't feel like, and even Kevin has not been seen as his big threat. And so they already assume that Bailey and they are together. And so it just slumped me another person with them. Any secluded conversation that Tyler or Cody or Christmas or Nicole or Danny is not in, that Davon is in, it's always some scheming.
Christmas is going to talk to Enzo about it later, and Enzo had also noticed that like a couple nights in a row, Davon and Kevin hanging out in the hammock. Enzo was like, yeah, I was out there like 12:30. I saw him talking out there. And Christmas was like, I went out there like 2 and they were still there, still talking. What are they talking about?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Although I think that can definitely be a part of like where people can like stress about it, think like, okay, what are they talking about? But Davon and Kevin are so far on the outs. It is like, okay, they're either plotting our demise or they're getting to know each other. But it's like they really can't do anything because the numbers are on our side. So why stress about it? It's always where my mind goes when people are like, well, these two people that I deem to be together are talking and they like each other. They're friends. So what could they be talking about? Because I always get like,
yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there's not much else to do in that house is one of the things. And also, like, Davon has a lot of dirt on them. Like, if Devon actually decided to turn, she could blow up all of their spots and, like, really, because, you know, those are the people, like, Devon, Bailey, if they had decided to jump on board, you know, Janelle and Kacer, and told them, yeah, there is an alliance, we were in it, actually, we are in it, actually, but we don't want to be in it anymore, that would really galvanize that other side against the big group, right?
I feel like it would, and I feel like a little bit of the conversation that Bailey and Day were having last night, we'll get to that later, but I feel like that could possibly still happen. So my hope is still there for this to happen. So hopefully.
We'll see. Tyler's worried. Tyler's worried that people are going to take a shot at him and Cody soon. And he's not happy about it. He continues to feel like nobody's coming up to his HOH room. Nobody wants to hang out with him. He senses that he is not in the best place right now, and that makes him uncomfortable.
And the only person that would come after them is Danny. At like any particular point, as I feel as though, with Bailey and Day seemingly being close to Tyler, with Bay being on the season, Angela and Swaggy, we've seen their like Twitter interactions. And so I feel like a lot of people feel safe with Tyler and with Cody. But we haven't seen many people going to the HOH room this season. As we saw in the first head of household where Cody won. And it was the big thing where Keisha was like, I don't want to really go up there, where the old school were like, I don't really want to go up there. And we saw the awkward interactions with the first week of the HOH room when that HOH was revealed. And so I feel like that has been a thing this season where people don't necessarily convene in the HOH room more so than one-on-one conversations.
Yeah. Memphis did not help that either. Absolutely not. And
he should have just pulled a Sam and was like, no one is allowed in here. If I'm not in here, there would be no game talk. I would put the people up and then we can go like that.
Yeah. Nicole talks to Christmas a bit throughout the day. Christmas has gotten the golden ticket. She has been invited to Nicole's wedding. So she is now not allowed to turn on Nicole in the game.
No. Do you think that Janelle invitation is completely null and void?
Rescinded. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. I think Janelle would give a nice gift, though.
That's very true. I've heard that her earrings are like $5,000.
Yeah, I definitely saw that price tag online. I was shook that she brought those into the Big Brother house. So Chanel. So I feel like you can bite the bullet on not really liking Janelle, but receiving a nice wedding gift.
Yeah, right. Why target Janelle in the game if you're gonna get a nice set of earrings?
She can give you a discount on her Verbo lake house, and so it could be all these different things.
But they talk about like being concerned about a potential vote flip that Devon had approached Danny about potentially what if we kept Janelle, and they see that Devon is talking to Kevin and they're worried that they are trying to keep Janelle, trying to flip the vote. And so that's, you know, a topic of conversation throughout the day. Christmas and Nicole also just kind of banter and bond throughout the day as, you know, they talk about Nicole's wedding and how fun it will be and all of that.
And Christmas can bring her star baby.
Yes. Yes. which starts to multiply very quickly.
I was surprised. I was like, whoa, what is happening? When I tuned back onto the feeds later on.
Yeah. Christmas was woken up multiple times throughout the night she has to run laps, which I don't know why they call it laps. It's really just running back and forth.
Yeah.
But she had to run back and forth in the backyard like 50 times. Wake up in the middle of the night, run in the backyard. And
Kristen probably thought that she was going to get a vacation from being a mom because she's a new mom. It's so she was probably like, oh wow, I get to be on my own for a little bit, but not so fast, Kristen.
Yeah. I mean, she's really taken to it, though. I mean, she really she talks to the star baby all the time. She tells it stories. One of the things that she has to do is sometimes the Big Brother will say that you have to, she has to go around and tell people how cute the baby is. She'll run around. Hey, oh, isn't it cute? Isn't it cute? She's like fully on board.
It's like when parents, when new parents have the pictures. Well, they probably don't do this now, but old school, when they had the wallet and then like the photos would just like come all down. This kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. So Tyler's going to chat with Enzo. Tyler says that he is concerned that there might be some sort of alliance, or maybe there was an alliance, with Davon, Nicole Anthony, and Kevin. He thinks that that was an alliance, which I was like, wow, great call. That was exactly the alliance.
It really was. And I, like, why does it catch fire now comparatively to when they were in the house and hanging up on the upstairs loft area?
Well, I think it's because like Davon and Kevin are now like talking so much, and they both tried to flip the vote to keep Nicole. So I think he's kind of like, oh, I bet they were in an alliance and now it's just the two of them. But he says now that Nicole's gone, Day is probably trying to pull in David, because he sees that they're getting closer. And so he is, you know, considering the possibility that there is potentially this kind of like counter movement, if they don't keep Davon and Bailey pulled in.
Yeah, but now we have David calling Davon D, so that's a
you don't escalation call, hey, in hey, he's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
That's like him thinking it's okay to send her gifts of herself.
1000%, which is a no-no. Anyone that wants to pursue Davon is a no-no.
Yes. But Tyler says, like, I keep trying to pull David in. No matter how hard we try to pull him in, this nothing works. And so they're kind of thinking like he must just be with Davon, and poor Davon and Bailey. They're also thinking we're trying to pull David in so much.
I was exactly about to say David is like no one can get him pulled in. He's in La La Land, as Bailey put it.
Yep.
And which like. Is he playing the game? Is he playing a game?
It's just like his communication skills are just not super high. Like it's pulling teeth sometimes to talk. Like Bailey's going to talk to him later, and she like we'll talk about that conversation later. But there's an instance where she's asking him like, "How do you feel about Cody?" And his response is, "Not that close." Like it's like that's talking to David all the time, that he just like he's so
literally
he speaks so slowly. He thinks about like every word before that's he says it.
What was that book that he was reading before he came in last season?
A book on emotional intelligence. Oh, before last season?
Because remember, they were talking about it. They were talking about it on the feeds last season. I can't remember. I think it was an emotional type book, or how to strategize, or how to lie. Or
well, he definitely read one like before that. This season. It was like something 2.0, like on emotional intelligence.
He's just getting all that out. He wants to be slow to speak, very slow to speak, so people can fill in the sentences, so he can just go with whatever they say. It's a strategy.
If I speak slowly enough, they will just fill in the sentences for me, and then I'll be doing exactly what they want me to.
Exactly. Who don't you trust? I don't trust. Bailey says, Nicole, yes, I don't touch Nicole. Yes, absolutely. That is how this season will go for David.
Yeah. Well, Enzo is going to continue to bring up the fact that Davon was upset about not being given safety. And he's like, why? Like, Enzo is just like besides himself about this. How come I have to choose Davon? I wanted to choose Christmas. It's not my fault. Why am I supposed to choose Davon? Why is she so nervous about it in the first place? He's going to complain about it to Tyler. He's going to complain about it later to Davon. Sorry, to Christmas, not to Davon.
I'm about to say, to Davon. I was actually surprised. Not really, but a little bit, because they do seem close friends and they like to banter, they like to joke, they like the kid. I was surprised that he chose Christmas.
Well, I will talk about it later. I think that Enzo is starting to see it as like Christmas is his parachute. Like I think Enzo thinks this is my opportunity. I finally have my own parachute alliance, my own person. You know, little does he know that she's already Tyler's. But what are you going to do?
Literally. But no one else pegs that Tyler is in Christmas are parachute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyler says, look, if we didn't need Janelle and Kacer out so bad, we could backdoor Day right now. Like, that's where she's at this point. Like she just continues to show that she doesn't trust us. And so it's unfortunate. Anytime we meet as a six, she barely engages. Like, she's not even bothering to hide the fact that she doesn't want to be with us.
And this is the hard part with watching the feeds and seeing all of the things, because as we've seen Tyler, Nicole, Danny, they say, oh, Devon talks too much at particular points. Then we have Devon doesn't talk enough at particular points. Then we can talk to everyone in this game, but Devon can only talk to the select people that we see fit that she can talk to, or else red alarms everywhere. So that's the very frustrating part. I'm like, I'm seeing, how can I wrap my mind of a logical sense in seeing, okay, Devon is talking to a lot of people. I'm also talking to a lot of people. Devon is left out of 70% of my plans, but I'm left out of 40% of Devon's plans, you know? And so it's always the frustrating part with that.
I really feel like the thing about this, right, is that trust is currency in the game, and it's sort of like you have to spend money to make money. You have to spend trust to make trust, right? I think the thing that Devon is having problems with is that she doesn't give away her trust very easily. And she also doesn't hide the fact that she doesn't give away trust very easily, right? So, like, when it's obvious that Devon doesn't trust you, it's hard. You start to be like, if she doesn't trust me, then I can't trust her. And we're seeing that Bailey is better at this. Bailey is much better at, like, faking it, putting the smile on.
Absolutely.
And she, like, even when Bailey is, like, sometimes openly questioning things, she then, once she gets the confirmation of, like, we're good, she's like, okay, awesome, I'm super excited about this. And they're like, oh man, we feel good about Bailey. Why is Devon sitting there in a corner not talking to us, right?
And this with Bailey, it really made me aware of this with her. When her and Kacer, this was a while ago, but her and Kacer had a conversation, and Kacer seemed to me as though he was, like, lecturing Bailey on the format of the game, saying, hey, don't open your mouth about this. Hey, keep silent, stay calm and whatnot. And Bailey was just like, okay, yes, 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 yes. And so it just really made me totally aware that she is definitely acing this role of, even though she loves Kacer, which she has said time and time again. But even if she is questioning something or is not that upfront excited about it, she still puts up the visual or, you know, appearance that, okay, I'm with you, I'm totally with you, which Devon can have trouble with at times, because you, whatever you see on her face is whatever you get. And so,
yeah. Bailey and Devon actually even have a conversation about this later, to skip ahead slightly, but they do have a meeting later in the night, and afterward, Devon was like, I hate it when they always turn to me and ask me my opinion in these group meetings. And Bailey's like, yeah, because normally you're very opinionated, you have a lot to say, but then as soon as we're in a group, you're quiet and observant. And Dave's like, yeah, because I don't trust these people. And basically, like, you don't think they pick up on that? Like, that's the problem.
That relationship, I love that relationship so much, because they call each other out on different things like that. And that, like, really warms my heart. But hopefully they takes what Bailey says with love. It's like, you know what? I do this. I should do a better job at seeming as though I want to be a part of this Connect Four, Connect Six, or whatever the connection is at this point.
Yeah. So Tyler and Enzo talk about that. Christmas and Enzo talk a bit. Enzo just complains more about Devon being upset about the safety thing. Cody's going to talk a bit with Kacer. Kacer says he's open to being, you know, to working with him if he stays. Cody does the thing he does with Kacer every single, like, Cody has never given Kacer the real time. Like, he will engage him in conversation, but Cody has never been open to working with Kacer. And he just is like, yes, yeah, sure.
Beginning in week one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still coming to fruition now.
Yeah. Danny is going to talk with Janelle. Janelle apologizes for throwing her name out there, says that she would be pleased if Danny, you would be pleased if I won HOH next week. I'm telling you. But again, this is another situation where Danny has never been open to working with Janelle, despite all of their conversations,
which is surprising. As we talked about in the preseason, it's very shocking the mindset that Danny has with Janelle. And so I was very confused by it.
Well, if Danny gets evicted or something at some point, and I talk to her and I ask like, you seem to want to target Janelle from the beginning. What was that about? She's like, no, I wanted to work with Janelle. I'm going to be like, Danny, no, you don't do that to me. I saw you night one talking about Janelle. You wanted to target her right away.
Absolutely.
I know you did.
Absolutely.
Why?
She wants to be the queen of the house. She wants to be the queen of the BB world.
Mm hmm. It has to be something or like we said, maybe something in the pregame. Or maybe both. I don't know.
And I really like this conversation because Janelle would definitely aid Danielle's game. Danielle has in more unconventional ways, put out her targets and not as boldly as, I don't know, Janelle has with Nicole or, different things like that. But Janelle could definitely be used, as Danny would like to target Tyler at some point. Janelle could definitely be used to do that because I don't see anyone in that house honestly doing that as much as Danny wants them to. And it just makes sense for
her. I mean, I think that Danny, Danny just doesn't get, I mean, I guess, nah, she did get along with Bailey pretty well. So, I don't know. I mean, like, who, like, I feel like Danny should be scared. Tyler is scared right now. And Danny should also be scared right now. But I think Danny is not as scared as Tyler. And I think they both should be scared.
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
One of the people are going to make the first move, but I feel like it's going to be Danny. For some reason,
it definitely could be. Cody and Danny do talk. She doesn't believe Janelle. She doesn't believe that she's not going to come after them. She says also that it's a good thing that Cody and Tyler are linked up because we'll have the votes to get rid of Tyler. That'll be great for us. She doesn't want Tyler in there.
She doesn't. And it. So you said, as she really said, she said, I don't believe Janelle would not come after them. Mm-hmm. And she said them, and that this is surprising me because Danielle has oftentimes in her previous seasons has played a more self-focused game more than a team round game. Mm-hmm. And it's so surprising because I do not believe that, even though, well, it's hard to say because Janelle did throw out Danny's name. But as the relationship that they have had in the public, I feel like in the past, I feel like Danielle could definitely use Janelle. But it's so weird to see Danny putting a team focus more than a self focus on her gameplay this season.
Yeah, she is, and it's very focused on Cody, that she is very protective of Cody. And I think in a sense, because she probably looks at it like there's Tyler and there's Cody. They're both going to win a lot of competitions. I'm putting my money on Cody because I don't like Tyler. I like him in the game, but I also like, I didn't like him when I watched him.
And she tweeted about it.
Yeah. So she seems to be placing her bets on Cody. I haven't seen Cody talk about Danny in a bad way lately, but he certainly did before. So I don't know if that's the right bet to place for her, but it is a better bet than Tyler, because Tyler also isn't a big fan of Danny. So, well, Bailey is going to talk to Davon later in the day. And they talk about how they're concerned about the four. They think Janelle might be right that there is a four, but they don't think it's Tyler. It's not Tyler. It's probably Enzo, right?
Enzo is the four, which was how you see Tyler work. You know, like, how doesn't Trumani mean?
But they are right. This is the core four.
Yeah, this is the core four.
I literally was like, oh my God, this is correct.
Yes, I was very impressed, but I was so surprised that they didn't put Tyler in that, though.
But I think they're right. I think they see that Tyler is involved in that group, but that he's not in the core, which means that they should work on Tyler to make sure that they have some kind of like outside power from the core, which is exactly what I've been saying Tyler and them should be doing. And I was just like, yes, don't stop believing this. This is what we need to do.
Please do. Yes. Very impressed by this conversation because we've always known in past seasons, Devon has not proved as much this season about the intuitive side of her. But Bailey is coming through strong with that intel, which I am very impressed to see. And I was very glad that they clocked that and that they worked and that Bailey talked to Devon and that they had the interaction and basically clocked everything. Well, not everything, but most things regarding like the war that they saw.
Mm-hmm. And yes, they are also concerned that they're, you know, later going to talk that like they're concerned that there's potentially like a six overall, right? That it's Cody, Enzo, Danny, Nicole. Nicole brings in Ian. They said Danny has Tyler, which is
Tyler. Definitely that's why I was confused. That's why they said Tyler was with Christmas, correct?
No, they said Danny was with Tyler.
Danny was with Tyler. Nicole was with Ian. Cody was with.
Cody kind of has Enzo.
Enzo, Christmas wasn't involved in that conversation.
Right, yeah. They don't really see that Christmas is there. But they see that as a kind of six that they're not involved in, but that Tyler's basically like kind of on the outside of. They see kind of Ian is maybe a five with them or something along those lines, but they're close. They're close here. They have the gist of this right, which is that they are on the outside of this power structure now, at least. They were a lot closer to the center before, but no longer. And that if they want to find a way in, that Tyler is probably that in. And again, I think that's correct because Tyler is scared. He is worried because nobody's coming up and talking to him. And he realizes that once one of Kacer or Janelle goes, or perhaps both of them, that he becomes kind of vulnerable as one of the bigger targets in the house to something like a back door. And he is worried about Danny. And so with that in mind, I have to imagine that he is wide open to putting something else together. The only problem is, and I think this is the reason he's so frustrated with Day, is that every time he tries to talk to Day, she doesn't talk to him and she looks at him weird.
Doesn't give him anything.
Yes. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Day now is changing her mind. And she's saying, okay, we do need to talk to Tyler. Let's try and pull him in. Because these other outsiders, they're worthless.
Basically.
David, as you said, is in La La Land. Kevin thinks that he doesn't need to win HOH and that he's in this big group. And you know, Kacer and Janelle are on their way out. Memphis is an asshole.
I really forgot about Memphis until you literally just brought him up right now. I literally forgot about Memphis. Wow.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, this is maybe the way in. And I do think it is. The only problem is that it might be too late. There's been a lot of damage done in that relationship, especially between Day and Tyler when she was lying about him approaching her. So
do you not think Bailey can repair that though?
I think that she can work on, I think it will take time. And I don't know how much time they have, but over time, I think it can be worked on. Tyler's, you know, Day also tried to flip the vote on David, and he didn't like that very much. I think it'll take a little while for him to feel comfortable, especially because it's so dangerous to openly kind of like move over here with the other people in that group, keeping a close eye on Tyler. If Devon did leak some information, as she is sometimes prone to do, it could really put Tyler in a rough spot. So they all parties here have to be very cautious, but it would be very beneficial for them to be able to make it work.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yes.
That excites me and also terrifies me at the same time, because Tyler probably wants to trust Day a lot and wants to tell her intel. But Day, as we saw and as you just said, has had a tendency to open her mouth to a person on the other side. And as Tyler is looking at, as a person that sees Day as someone who doesn't trust him fully, try to go behind his back. It's not smart for him to go to her with all this information and be like, hey, did you know X, Y, and Z? And then trust with 100% guarantee that they would not go to Danny or Nicole or Enzo or, you know, anybody on that side and divulge everything. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that if they take this slow, and they just kind of say like, look, we've been concerned in the past, but we're looking at this group now and we really think we can make it work, because we recognize that you, Tyler, you don't have an in to those other four, those other three to four, that if you like work with us, that's good for you, and we would like to work with you, like long term, like end game stuff, because we are loyal to the group in the short term. That I think, you know, that's the sort of thing that Tyler, I think will be like, okay, that works for me. And that also tells me that you're thinking long term about this group and that you're not planning on turning on it anytime soon, which calms those fears a little bit. And so we'll see.
So it'll basically be the three Tyler. If this happens, it'll be Tyler, Day. And then say they have to get numbers. So they throw in, David, who is in God knows where, and then they throw in Kevin, who is in God's nowhere as well.
I don't think they can throw in Kevin. I think that's a step too far. I think that Tyler will encourage Christmas to continue working with on Bailey and Devon, try to get back in with them, so that he has another, you know, because, you know, Tyler another likes to have his secret weapons planted, and that's why he's not comfortable with this other group, because this entire like Slick Six, he has no secret weapons there. He's relying on Cody and Enzo as his secret weapons, which they're not good secret weapons. They're probably more loyal to each other, and way too dangerous in general. So that's why he's been feeling so uncomfortable. He recognizes that this isn't a long-term spot for him, that he needs other things to happen, which is why I think he'd be open to this. Bailey talks to David, and this is that conversation I was talking about before. She asks him who he would target, and he says, Memphis. She said, okay, let's say Memphis wins the veto. Who would you target then? Says, maybe Tyler.
What? Yo, this guy is. Was this when he was in the shower?
No, they were in the photo room.
Yes, this is the photo room. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And it didn't even feel to me like. I'm just going to throw his name out there to make it seem like we're not close, because he goes on to explain his reasoning, which is he's just too good socially and he wins all the time. Like, he can win when he needs to. Like, that's not the kind of person you want in the end game with you. Like, he's too good. You have to take those kinds of players out before the end game.
His read on this game completely sucks. I mean, even though the qualities that he said in Tyler were true, 1,000%.
Oh, yeah.
But as a person, as Bailey, who you seemingly have a type of rapport with, who you trust, and she's asking you, okay, basically, don't target Memphis. I'm giving you an avenue where he wins the veto, so he's off whatever chopping block. Tyler, I have a rapport with him. Bailey does. We were in the same season. We're friends, seemingly. So it just does not add up to a reasoning that, like, especially if Bailey, if you're talking to Bailey, that you should say.
Yeah. And like, this is a problem. Like, I it's important to hide your secret alliances, 1,000%. But it's also important to make sure that your secret alliances don't end up targeting each other. And he is encouraging these thoughts in Bailey to target Tyler. And like, dude, talk about Cody instead, man. Like, be like, I'm worried about Cody and Tyler. They're both dangerous. I'd probably target Cody because I feel like Tyler's easier to work with. Exactly. And that we could maybe pull Tyler in. If you told Bailey that, she would go, oh, that's perfect. That's what I'm thinking. And literally, she might bring you in a little bit more. And that's giving him credit and saying that he was lying in the first place. For all I know, he was actually telling the truth. And he actually does want to target Tyler, because I don't know what's going on in his head.
No one does, which is the funny part. No one does. the books did not help him.
Yeah. So she tells him about this potential six that she thinks is going on. And she says she's gunning for power next week to take a shot at those people.
Which really excited me, which...
Don't get too excited, because it's going to change.
At that moment, I was really amped up. Later on, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Feeds are going to go down for a while. Somebody tried to yell something into the yard, which...
Did we ever get clarity on what it was?
Apparently, it was like, F Nicole, get her out, or something along those lines. They seemed to think that it was like, save Janelle.
Save Janelle, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, just get out of here, guys. Stop it with this. You're shutting the feeds down. This has never, ever worked in the history of wall yelling and banner planes. The most it's ever done is helped Evil Dick win a season. So, I don't know if that's maybe what you wanted or what you generally want, but, that's the most effective it's ever been. And that was a banner plane. So look, just chill.
Stop.
Just chill.
So don't do it again. Don't do it again.
It often ends up having the opposite effect of what you want. Yes.
It was one wall yelling, I think season 10. And then they completely flipped it on what it said, I believe. Or it was a banner. It was the banner in season 10. And they were saying that Libra flipped it, or Keisha flipped it on Steven, or something like that.
They often do. Yeah. It's because it's so hard to understand that it's very easy to for people to then use it as strategy. And it's, let me tell you, it's the people in power that are able to use this as strategy, because the people not in power don't have the power to do it. Absolutely. So, just stop it. Just stop it. Bailey's going to have a conversation with Danny, and this is going to cloud the mind. Unfortunately, Danny, I watch Danny and I'm just like, I feel like she's so see-through to me, at least.
I completely agree.
And again, I don't like saying that, because it's easy for me to say that because I know the truth. But yeah. I watch other people and I'm like, man, they're good liars. But I watch Danny. I'm just like, she's always doing like the same tells. I don't know. Like, she's really bad at coming up with a story for the lie. Right.
Absolutely.
So she's like, Bailey questions her about what Janelle said about her being in this four person thing, and like approaching her with an alliance. And like, Danny's response is, Oh my God, that's so annoying. It's not even true. I don't even know why she would say that. Like, she came to me and offered me an alliance, and then a day later, I heard she was saying my name. It doesn't even make any sense. And Bailey's like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And she's like, exactly. I have no idea why she would ever do that.
We need to get you an Oscar, because that was literally exactly how the conversation went, with the facial expression, with the arm movements. It was perfect.
But better liars have a story to make it make sense, right?
Whether that's so annoying, why did he? It's just like, come on.
But it works. It works here. Bailey falls for it. Hook, line, and sinker. She's going to talk about it later. But Bailey starts the impression. She really starts the conversation, saying, "I'm confused. I need some clarification. First, I need to know if Cody's using the veto." Dana's like, "No, of course not. Of course not." Then she's like, "Okay, I figured he would have told you. But I needed to know." And this is again, like, I do think that Bailey is better than Devon at this, of like showing trust, but I also don't like this overall strategy of like, she's kind of grilling Danny, kind of like, yeah. Like, you're not screwing us over, right? And like, if you have to ask, like, that should never be asked, because if they are screwing you over, they're just going to deny it. And if they aren't screwing you over, then you're showing them that you don't trust them, and that they need to cut you soon, right? Like, I just feel like this is never a conversation that should actually happen in this way. And her even saying,
and this could be like a small part, but I feel like this could be a bigger part in Danny's mind, of her saying, "Oh, I feel like he would tell you that
exactly
he was playing." I was like, don't do that, because Danny's mind really moves in that way of, wait, she completely associates me with Cody and the trust that we have. That's a problem. And yep. I was like, no.
Yeah. And so she asks, like, who do we want to stay? Danny says, everyone wants Janelle out, but what are your thoughts? And Bailey says, like, I'm just concerned that we're taking out my side alliances and everyone else is getting to keep their side alliances. And it's again, like, that's an inside concern, Bailey. That's not an outside concern.
It's an internal battle. You're like, wait. And then are even saying, well, Janelle would be better for my game. I'm just like, mm-hmm. But Danny really played, as we can see, Danny was like, how can you not see through this? To Bailey, Danny really played Bailey completely, and even aiding to her sense of being like, hey, well, if Cody or Tyler have a side alliance, they have to take one for the team. Mm-hmm. In that manner, I was like, Danny, bravo to you. But Bailey completely divulging way too much information, way too much feelings, and concern that she has to the completely wrong person.
Yeah. And Danny asks, like, well, who are the other side alliances? And that's when Bay brings up, like, well, this four person thing scares me. Danny says, it's not true. It makes no sense. And Bailey starts talking about, like, you know, I'm sorry. It's just like Tyler being HOH. It has sort of like, you know, done things to me after what happened last time. And this was interesting from Danny, because I don't think this was smart. This is one of those things, like, just because you have information doesn't mean you should share the information necessarily. And she did a good job with Bailey overall, but I did feel like letting this out was potentially dangerous for her, because she says, well, look, if it will help calm your nerves here, I can tell you that I was talking to Tyler privately, and he told me that he will never put you on the block. And this is true. Tyler had that conversation with Danny. He said, I mean, the context of the conversation was, look, I can never target Bailey. I can never put her on the block. I'm not going to live the rest of my life being haunted by Bailey fans. So if that ever happens, it's got to be one of you guys, essentially.
As one of the reasons why he hates Twitter.
Yes. I do believe that Tyler wants to work with Bailey if he can. He's been trying to work on that relationship. And again, I do think that if Bailey and Devon approach him, I think he'll be more skeptical of Devon than Bailey. And I think he would love to work with Bailey long term if he can. And he basically told Danny, I just flat out cannot target her in this game. And Danny relays this information to Bailey. And Bailey is like, that's amazing. That makes me feel so good, so much better. I've been struggling because before I came in here, a bunch of my fans are messaging me like, you'd better not trust that Tyler devil. You'll be such an idiot if you trust him. And I'm like, Bailey's fans, what are you doing? Like, that's not helpful
not to anybody's game. It definitely clouds people's judgments, even going into it and even having that preconceived notion as she relayed to Danny with it. It was like, yeah, why?
Mm-hmm. But she feels very good about that. And the reason, so this works. It helps Bailey feel a lot more comfortable in the group, which was part of Danny's goal. But at the same time, it really helps confirm to Bailey that Tyler is somebody that she can work with. And that's not good for Danny because she's been trying to target Tyler in the future. And Tyler being able to solidify these relationships will help protect him, especially in that case that she was talking about earlier where he's put on the block next to Cody. So, yes. There are pros and cons to this, but I have a feeling that Danny is going to regret letting this particular bit of information go.
I can see it happening, but I feel like with Bailey though, I don't see it. Like I don't see that her telling Bailey that. I just don't see Bailey doing anything with that other than feeling nice about it.
When
she wants to target Tyler, yeah. But I feel like for the immediate, I feel like no harm, no foul in a way, but because Danny's target is Tyler, so it definitely could like hold that.
Well, so I feel like I think that both Tyler and Bailey have wanted to work together. They've squashed things on the outside for the most part. I think Tyler gets along well with Swaggy. They're all kind of like kind of friends now. But in the house, there's been this thing holding them back where Bailey has not let her guard down around Tyler, and Tyler sees that. And because she's not letting her guard down, he can't let his guard down because he knows that she doesn't trust him and she hasn't been able to trust him. And if this is the thing that allows Bailey to let her guard down, I do think it opens the door for them to get together and actually work together, which gives Tyler and Bailey more power in the game, where before Danny kind of had a stranglehold on both of them because they were unable to work with each other.
Yeah.
So interesting stuff, potentially.
And every time I hear that, because Tyler has voiced like how Bailey hasn't like been like that open air, even we can see with Devon and people. It always goes into my mind of who will be that first person to make the move to build that trust. Because if you're saying, okay, Devon is very standoffish, so how can I go to her? Well, in my mind, I think, okay, why don't I start to open that up? And if she's like basically hell no to it and as recluse as she already is, then I can take that forward and, you know, do what I have to do with it. So that always goes into my mind of who will be the first person in that relationship to make the first move to like build that trust with each other.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing some people in the chat like, well, Bailey shouldn't trust Tyler. She shouldn't let her guard down around Tyler, which that is true, right? Like Tyler is dangerous in the game. And I don't think that Bailey should trust Tyler like super long term, but nor should Tyler trust Bailey super long term. I don't think either of them plan on taking each other to the final two. They would both cut each other before the finals. And Tyler is somebody that likes to have his, you know,
side deals.
But this is what I'm referring to when I talk about like trust being currency. There's a reason that the blindly loyal players like the Calebs, or the, you know, even like the Sams for a while, like the, like those players will often make it very far, much further than the players who are a little bit more observant, you might say. Like they have more success in the game because they're showing trust, and making it much further in the game is much better than not making it much further in the game. And in order to get somebody to work with you, you have to give them some trust. You have to, at the very least, very convincingly fake that you're giving them some trust, and that's very hard to do if you don't actually trust them. It's way harder than you think. You have to, like, what a player like Tyler does to fake that he trusts somebody is he genuinely trusts them with certain things, right? So like Tyler's trust is like a house. When he wants to bring someone in and show that he trusts them, he will unlock certain doors and then give them free access to those rooms. And he'll keep those other rooms locked, and he'll hide the fact that there's even a door there, and he'll pretend that's the whole house. But in that space that they have, free roam, they have access to all of that information, all of that game talk. And then with other people, he lets them into other doors and in other rooms.
I love the analogy. I love the analogy.
Right. Versus somebody who is not good at this. They keep the whole house locked up. They don't give any information away. Sometimes they like open the door and they give some information, but then they close it right away.
Close it right back up.
And they're like, that's all I'm giving you. That's kind of like a David at the moment, to some degree, where like, and they feel like I'm keeping my house safe from these people because I can't trust them because it's Tyler. Why would I ever trust? Why would I ever let Tyler into my home? That's like inviting a vampire. But like the thing is that you have to give them something because you can't pretend that they're in a house when they're standing outside. And if you're, and if they're not standing outside, then they will never trust you and they will never be able to work with you.
Comparing to how Dave Vaughn does it, where she, someone knocks, she, oh, never mind. She just peeks her head out. Oh, shoot. All right, never mind.
Dave Vaughn is the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah.
They're the guard door guy, like with the slit.
Yes.
She's like, wait, hold on. I'm going to tell you a lie, and I'm going to see if it spreads anywhere before I open this door.
Oh my God. I'm going to fly something under the door real quick to see if you'll take it.
Oh boy. All right. So that's how I feel like, ideally somebody like Bailey would operate, is let Tyler into certain rooms. And then they would be able to work together. And I think that could work. The problem is that sometimes, you know, players do operate where if they let them in the house, they can't help but have free access. And that's when it gets dangerous. But even that, I would prefer a player give free access to somebody who's not trustworthy then keep them completely locked out, because even if a player like Tyler has free access, at least that means that he won't be targeting you, and you have the opportunity to later realize I need to kick him out of my house. Versus if he's kept out completely, then he knows that you're one of the first people that need to go. Right.
With that analogy, how do you see Bailey being with that analogy, like with the house and opening doors? How do you see her? Because I'm having a hard time conceptualizing how she is with that type of analogy.
Bailey to me is one of those people. Like if she lets you in, you're pretty much the way in.
Okay.
And she
can run upstairs in the backyard, use the kitchen, appliances,
like,
everything.
She'll keep like her bedroom closed off, but the rest of the house is free game. And that is concerning long term. If she trusts Tyler too much. But again, I would rather have Tyler in her house, helping get her further in the game, and then later be like, okay, now's the time to kick him out, than keep him locked out and remain locked out of, you know, the game. Right. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm dying right now because I'm just laughing that Bailey stands have Tyler scared of Twitter. It's just like replaying in my mind. I'm not having Bailey fans come at me on Twitter for another year.
Yeah. I mean, for the rest of his life, he said.
For the rest of his life. Because they do not forget.
So Janelle and Kaser, in the meantime, are talking about how annoyed they are at Kevin. It's a topic of conversation lately. Janelle had a conversation with Cody where she was like, look, the person I'm most annoyed at in this house, it's not even Nicole F. Somebody else. She's referring to Kevin.
I get it. I completely understand the annoyance, every analogy that she paints Kevin as. And her to even tell Cody that, I feel like, was a bit of strategy and saying like, hey, I'm not even like that annoyed with Nicole F. Like, Kevin is my most, like, the, what do they call it? The point in my spine, or the something in my spine. Do you know the analogy? You're good with analogies.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Probably the needle in my spine. I don't know. Probably not a spine. Probably in something my spine. Else. What, isn't it like the...
The bun in my basket.
We can say that.
The bane of my existence.
The bane of... Okay, yeah, let's just go with the bane of my existence. I feel like I love that she told Cody that. I don't know if it will help with anything. I don't think it will. But it's
going to be great analogy. The bun in Janelle's basket. That's it.
That would be Nicole F. being the bun in her basket.
That's her trophy after she... I've taken the bun as my trophy and I'm putting it in my basket for my bunny blueberry.
My goodness. The thorn in my side. The thorn there in my is. Side. There it is. Got the thorn in my
the
spine.
The needle in my spine.
Oh my goodness. Wow. The thorn in my...
Yeah, you would go on the show and you'd be the guy that gets a spool of lies. A spool of...
Oh my. I liked it though. I don't think it'll do anything for Janelle, but I liked it.
Yeah. Is Janelle, Janelle lets Kaser know that Nicole A is the cause of all their problems, that Nicole A told Nicole F everything they said about her, that she said about her. Nicole A was giving all of this information and Kaser was like, why did you do that? She was the one person we told everything to. And Janelle was like, I know. What's her problem? And he was like, is she? Oh, man, she was just all messed up. Oh, man, that really screwed us, though.
And I definitely see it paying. Like, I definitely see it paying a part. And even what Nicole F had to say, as we saw in the episode, like, oh, I want to pick someone that hasn't done it before and always likes to talk about me, Janelle. And so I definitely see it playing a part. And it is so difficult to have a person that you think ruined your game and they're being out of the game and you're saying, okay, what the hell can I do at this point? Mm-hmm. So,
yep. So, Danny is gonna, after her conversation with Bailey sees that Enzo, Cody, and Tyler are in the HOH room together. And she's like, this is a perfect opportunity. Let's all get together. So she runs down to grab Devon and Danny runs into the HOH room to quickly fill them in on the conversation she just had with Bailey and say to them, like, we just need to keep them feeling comfortable. Like they're feeling like, left out again and that we have got side alliances. She's worried about these side alliances. Tyler's like, I don't even have any side alliances. Like, I don't even have any. And Cody's like, yeah, like who are these side alliances? Enzo, who's your side alliance? Enzo says, oh, man, I guess Christmas is my, it's not like official alliance. Enzo, no, don't fall. She's a wolf. She's a wolf in your grandma's clothing.
In your grandma's clothing. You know, bad. She really is. She really is. Oh my goodness.
So then Bailey and Devon come up. They talk through the options for which person should go home, Janelle or Kaser. They conclude Janelle. Bailey,
because the power is coming next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's you can't. I mean, when you've got people yelling over the wall, save Janelle. That makes her even more dangerous. She's going to get a power. So Bailey says that she wants to make sure that Memphis is still on the radar, that we're going after Memphis soon too, right? Totally. Tyler says that on his season he had Sam and JC to give him information. This season he's not got nobody. It's just them. Which is a lie. Bailey's like, well, after Janelle leaves, I'll feel the same way, so we can feel that way together. That'll be great.
A bonding moment of our loneliness.
Yeah. Enzo says, they say Enzo's got side chicks. His side chick is the entire house. He's everybody's side chick. And Enzo's like, what? Oh, come on.
Hold on. No.
I'm friendly. I'm friendly just as much as you guys are friendly, yo.
Was Nicole Elk in this room?
No, she's not a part of this alliance.
Okay, yes. Yeah. For some reason, I thought she was.
But Bailey wants to make sure that everyone is willing to cut their people later. And Cody says, look, yeah, I get it. It sucks when you have to do it, but I've done it before. In my season, I put Donnie on the block so many times, and I was the closest person to Donnie. He was never putting me up, but I knew, like, he was saying Derek's name, he was saying Frankie's name. I had to do it. It's going to be the same way this time. I'm totally willing to cut those people when the time comes. So everybody is left reassured, and the group disperses. There we go. Danny is going to talk with Cody and Nicole after everybody leaves. Nicole, then now Nicole is in there talking with Danny and Cody. And they're just talking about this meeting openly with Nicole, who up until this point has not heard of the Slick Six, does not know that this alliance exists.
oh, my goodness.
They're just openly talking about it. Danny's like, I'm so tired of having to reassure Bay. Like, I get it. Like, I understand where she's coming from because we are screwing her over, but it's still just annoying to deal with.
But I love that she came to the realization, like, I get it. It is true. But the Nicole moment of them talking about it very openly reminds me of last season where Bella was talking to Sam about whatever Six was. It was just like but I don't even think Nicole caught on to the fact.
Oh, no, she did.
She did? Yeah, okay, I must have missed that part.
So she's talking. So Danny brings up the fact that, like, I hate how Day is always sitting in these conversations and never says anything and just looking at us like she doesn't trust us.
Which she does look at them like that, and she does not trust them. So
yeah. Nicole then asks, like, so this alliance you keep referring to, who started this one? Did Dave Vaughn start this one? And Danny's like, yeah. It was sort of like around that Tyler thing. Like, what Tyler thing? Remember when Day approached Tyler and then approached you, and then she said that you both approached her around that time? That happened. And Danny's also just like, Nicole, can you just go grab the remote, switch the TV? So then Nicole gets up and she's like looking for the remote while Danny and Cody keep talking about this alliance. She's like, I can't find
the conversation. It's like your child. It's like your child is running around the house and you look like, yeah, this is act like their name here.
Yeah. That was very funny now Nicole knows about this alliance.
And I, like, if I was Nicole, while all of her friends, the people that she mainly talks to, are upstairs or nowhere near her, who cuddles the girl, and you're stuck downstairs with, like, probably they weren't in the same room, but with like a Janelle or with like a Casey, and you're like, where's everyone else at? How come red alarms aren't even going to your head? Like, I'm just going to go see what the HOH room is like. So I was very confused. And so that's why I probably thought Nicole was up there, but then Nicole was up there at a later point. So I'm getting the two conversations. Yeah.
They talk about how Cody says, well, the reason that Day doesn't trust us, I think, is that she wholeheartedly believes that there's a guy's alliance, which is because David told her there was.
David. Oh, my goodness.
Nicole says that Bailey came down because Nicole was busy talking to Christmas while all this was happening. And then Bailey came down from the meeting and said, hey, Christmas, I need to talk to you. And Nicole was like, oh, what does she need to talk to Christmas about? She was like, is she trying to flip the vote? And so she came upstairs to talk to them. And they were like, no, she's not trying to flip the vote. I don't know what she's talking to Christmas about. And Nicole was like, I'll just ask Christmas about it later. She tells me everything. I'm like, again,
where is the secrecy with the people who you don't want to seem or deem to be seen that close to, that you're just openly like, hey, this is, she tells me everything, she gives me all the intel, do not tell her anything.
I invited her to my wedding, so she is now my side alliance, not Enzo's.
That is my friend, no one else's friend, no one else. She would not betray me, and if she does, the invitation is null and voided.
Cody tells them about Janelle's pitch. They Cody and Danny both think that Kevin is the person that she's referring to, which is true. Nicole was like, no, it had to be me. It's like, no, she said specifically not Nicole. But okay. This is really funny. Cody talks about how important it is that Kacer goes home next week because you can't make this mistake. In his season, they took out Hayden, and then they had to take out Nicole right away because they knew that there was a battle back coming, and that if one of them was still in the house and then the other one came back in, then the duo would be back together. And then he goes, oh yeah, Danny, like your season, how you guys screwed up. He didn't say it that way, but he was like, yeah, I mean, that's what happened on your season in 13, Danny, you guys, again, this is me editorializing, you guys massively screwed up not sending Rachel home after Brendan, and then Brendan came back in and they were a duo again. You can't literally make that mistake. We know for a fact that if there is a battle back, let's be honest, it'll be Janelle coming back in, no matter what it is. Completely. So, if we don't take out Kacer next week, then we risk Janelle coming back in and them being a duo once again. So that's why it's important to take out Kacer.
Which is a really good point to make. Unfortunately, even though there is no buyback, we know, but they probably don't know, because even Janelle made a comment early on. Was kind of portrayed that it was going to be a buyback, and so now it's like, no, it's not going to be a buyback, and so, which is it's a fair point for Cody to make, but it was so funny to bring that up, and Danny sitting right there and remembering the worst mistake that BB13 could be.
Yeah, just another way twists screw everything up. That's fine.
I see in the chat someone said, surprise in the code and invite Christmas to be the 10th bridesmaid. I know.
Maybe it's happening. Nicole talks.
That's when they get to jury. Mm.
Nicole talks also about how she actually trusts Enzo more than she trusts Ian. Enzo, he's like ride or die for the team, but Ian just can't be sure.
And you haven't seen Ian do much or give much because he doesn't know much. Which is a fair point. So how can he, because I haven't seen Ian work that closely or really strategize with anyone other than Nicole. Or Kacer a little bit.
Ian, I do think, here's the thing about Ian. I think that if Ian has all of the information available to him, he will be able to make like great strategic decisions. But he is really bad at obtaining information, and is very easily like manipulated by people. And so right now, I think he thinks that he has a lot of information, that he's making correct decisions, but he's actually he's in just one room of the house. He thinks it's a studio apartment, but it's a mansion.
It's a mansion. He thinks it's a studio apartment. I love this analogy.
Bailey and Devon talk after the meeting, and they agree Janelle is leaving. This is when Day's like, I hate it when they ask me questions, and Bay says, well, that's because normally you talk, but in meetings you're quiet. I don't trust these people. They see that. Bailey talks, says that, okay, well, here's the thing. I talked to Danny, and she told me that alliances take precedence over friendships in this game, that alliances are what she sticks to. So I feel very reassured by that.
Yeah.
It's like,
which is very like, why do you believe that?
It's such an obvious lie.
And the fact that Bailey acts like it's just like that. She actually really believes this. And Danny is not doing a good job at even portraying that this is true. Like, other than her words, you know, you see her with Nicole, you see her with the people that she had a pre-existing relationship with. And I think David made a comment saying it's hard to compete with the people that have pre-existing relationships when you really don't have one with anyone. And so the fact that Bailey actually believes that and actually thinks that there's fruit behind that conversation is very annoying.
Yeah. It's bad. It's not good. And Devon talks about it too. She's like, yeah, that's how I work. Like, relationships are one thing, but an alliance is a bond. I think this is part of the problem where, like, she really feels like she needs to, like, fully trust and fully be in on something when they're in an alliance, and that she jumps in and, like, it has to be perfect. But, like, alliances are not that. Alliances are fluid. Alliances are fake. It's the relationships that are the real glue that matters. That's why they can talk about an alliance in front of Nicole Franzel, and it doesn't matter, because Nicole and them feel comfortable with the relationships that they have with one another.
That's a good point.
Even if they weren't in the core four, that they have these relationships, and that's, at the end of the day, you're not going to choose an alliance member over somebody that you feel emotionally you are attached to, not just attached to, but like that emotion makes you feel better about them in the game. That, like, it's hard to trust that somebody will stick to an alliance just because they agreed on it, versus somebody who likes you and feels good about you and trusts you and wants to stick with you. Like, trust is a much tighter bonding agent than deals, right?
Absolutely. And even for Devon to say that, I feel like I can tell from just even watching her play this season that isn't true. So she doesn't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. So.
So they say, Bailey says she also felt very reassured about the Tyler news. And she feels very good about that. She says, you know, Cody does have his hands in many pots, but we'll just have to hold him accountable.
and then they said at the same breath, it would be very, he can't win the next HOH because he won't have anyone to target without exposing himself.
Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. You don't hold people accountable. They're just gonna say no. Like, she says, that's why I made sure to be like, hey, so you're going to be willing to cut your people at the end. And like if that's what she thinks will hold him accountable, she's wrong. Right. Like, Cody's not going to do it just because she made sure to point it out earlier. It's more than words. You got to have more than words. I don't think it's a terrible position. I would rather them have too much trust in this group than do what they were doing before, which is showing how much they don't trust them.
Trust the group.
Because this might actually keep them off the chopping block in the short term, because, like, when they're consistently showing that they don't trust them, then they're an immediate threat. If they kind of fall for it, then okay, we can put this on the back burner and focus on other things for now. And then that gives them an opportunity to build things elsewhere and get some more power and be a little more prepared when the target comes back on them. And that's kind of what they're doing. So overall, I still like the direction that they're heading in here, even though they're still in a very bad position overall. I think, you know, they were in a free fall. And now I feel like they're slowly crawling their way back to something. But still, again.
And I just need them to have a conversation like they had before the group got together, where Bailey and Devon were sussing out Danny, were sussing out even Cody and different people like that. But then Danny came in, kind of cleaned that slate and reassured them of all the different aspects. So I need them to have that mindset, but also have the mindset of let's even project the idea that we do trust them. Which all of it can play simultaneously, but I don't think all of it can play simultaneously.
I want them to say, we trust them for now, and we're going to let them into these rooms, but we know that we need to do something later, and let's try and set ourselves up in the future. And that's not exactly where they are, because they do also talk about throwing the HOH this week. Hey, if Nicole or Ian or Memphis aren't in it, we can feel pretty comfortable letting it go. They do think that, it would be great if Kacer won, which sure would be great for you.
Fantastic, yeah.
But you're also, you know, providing the other, like, HOHs are power. Power is important in the game. And if you're concerned about your side pieces getting cut, then you have to win power to cut their side pieces.
So protect your side pieces and protect them.
Exactly. Yeah. And even just to consolidate power, to have a position where you are getting information, which is power, and you're giving trust to people and you're showing that you trust them and that they can trust you by not putting them on the block. Like, there's so many advantages to winning this power, that they're letting go when they feel like they don't need to win. So.
And are we calling the side alliances side pieces now?
They keep calling them side pieces.
So we have to do it.
Calling them side chicks often.
Chicks, they keep calling them side chicks.
Which, if the guys were doing it alone, I would be like, whoa, but the women are doing it too. So it's like, I don't know. That's what they said.
We can just stick with side pieces, though. Can stick with that.
So Devon says, okay, well, if we're in on this alliance, great. But my worry is if we get to six, the two of us are at the bottom, which is like a very Day thing to be worried about, right?
She hates going with pairs.
Yes. But Bailey says that's why the Tyler comment was so important. We need to nourish that. And this is what I'm like, yes, this is going to be good for you if it works. And Devon says, okay, yes, I want to have a three person conversation with him, us three, because he feels good about you. That's great. But he doesn't feel good about me. I don't feel good about him. So we need to make this work. And they want to do it soon, before the weekends. And I think that that's important that they do
that. They need to do it soon.
And Bailey says nobody's going to want to sit next to Enzo in the end. So Cody will probably link up with Danny, and we can probably grab Tyler. And that puts us in an okay position in that final six. That's kind of the game plan now. Again, it's not perfect, but I do think it's a step in the right direction. I just worry that it might be too late.
Cause oftentimes when I watch the live feed specifically, it goes through my mind that, like, why isn't that, like, as you said, when they were talking about, we need to go talk to Tyler and us three need to have a conversation. And so in my mind, I'm like, go do that, please, right now. But I get out of the mind. So, like, when they live with these people for 24 hours in a day, and so they have, like, time, but also it is also a sense of urgency that you need to have, because anyone can have a different conversation with Tyler to put them at a offset or upset. And so I just wish the sense of urgency was more rampant.
And here's one of the reasons. The final conversation of the night is Tyler and Kacer. And Tyler really likes Kacer. And if Tyler feels like he's got Kacer, then he might not need other people as much. He's not going to feel as nervous. So Kacer's kind of getting in here. This is a pretty interesting conversation. Kacer says, look, I really like you on a personal level. I think that we should work together. I hope that there's still a chance that both me and Janelle could possibly stay. And Tyler basically says, I'm sorry, man. It can't happen. It can't happen. Like, I like you too. I really do. But you've been saying my name, and even though you're coming to me at the last minute, like, it's just not enough. Like, there's nobody else I can target right now. There's no other big targets. I would lose so much trust with so much of the house if I did anything right now. It's just not something that I can make happen, unfortunately. And Kacer says, like, look, I respect you so much. If I do stay in the house, I hope we can work together in the future. Tyler says, I think you're going to stay, and I hope you stay. And I would love that. Like, I felt really close to you, man, in the first few days. Like, I really do. I really like you, and I'd love to work with you. I feel like we're on the same, like, wavelength. I get why you thought I was with Cody. I wanted to work with you, but I understand why you felt that way. And Kacer's like, I screwed up. I jumped the gun a little bit. I saw some things, and we heard that, somebody offered Janelle an alliance that included you. And he's like, well, that person screwed me because I got banded in with these people. I don't even feel that comfortable with them. I don't even like them that much, but I'm forced to be here and I don't feel comfortable. Nobody comes up and talks to me. I feel like if you two go, I'm going to be the next you. I do feel like I'm in a position where I could get backdoored. And again, I think Tyler's being pretty truthful here in terms of his position.
I don't think he would bring it to Keisha, who a person that he really has not built any trust with, would bring the nervousness that he has with the other people to a person like Keisha, where Keisha could legitimately go to that other side. It wouldn't. I don't think he would do them any favor to gain trust with the other side. He just made your story Tyler a little bit more. But mm-hmm. I do think Tyler was being completely transparent. And like,
Not completely transparent. He's not like
completely
telling,
transparent. Yeah. But in a sense, transparent enough to build a stepping stone for him and Kaser to go, you know, with the next week with some type of trust and rapport built with him voicing his concerns with the other side.
Well, again, it's Tyler's letting him into like the living room, where he is genuinely nervous about his position and genuinely does think that some of these people in this group might backdoor him and that he would be left in a vulnerable position. He's not showing the rooms where he is tight with Cody and Enzo now, and the rooms where he's got David and he's got Christmas, but they're just sitting in rooms locked in there.
Everyone is in a different room just waiting for Tyler to like make the rounds to that room. So it's like living room, Casey just looking around, watching TV, and then he has like Enzo in the kitchen, Cody in that room, everybody in different rooms. I love it.
But I do think that this is an opening. This is an open door for Kaser to come in. And I do think it would be beneficial for, again, both of these people to, because I really feel like the Cody structure benefits Cody the most. Cody and Nicole. And those are the two that are currently in the driver's seat. And things need to change in order for anybody else to get into a solid position like that. And so it behooves everybody to be able to work with anybody else that is willing, that is open to working with them. And so I think that Tyler actually would enjoy picking up somebody like Kaser, not only because fingers it's beneficial for his game, but also I think he does genuinely really like Kaser, because who would not like Kaser?
Who would not like
other
Kaser?
Than Kevin?
Kevin. I was about to say that other than Kevin.
But Kaser says, and I thought this was great. He was like, man, I watched you on Big Brother 20 and you made everybody feel really comfortable and like they really liked you. And like, that's how I feel right now. How do I know that this is not just a Big Brother 20 situation?
I know.
Where, and again, it kind of is.
Yeah.
But, when Tyler is the one in power, you kind of have to play ball sometimes. You kind of have to give that trust and then reevaluate later. What Tyler says is, the people that felt good about me were my allies and I made it to the end with them. So like that's the way to go.
No lies detected. No lies detected.
Kaser says, all right, I would really like to work with you. I think we could do some epic stuff together, man. And Tyler's like, that's exciting. Like, I would love that. Kaser's like, final two. And Tyler's like, well, let's pump the brakes.
Let's hold the horses. Comparatively, when we saw the first week, Tyler handing out final twos out the wazoo. And now he's like, let me pull it back a little bit.
Yeah. Kaser's like, saying, I love you on the first date.
And Tyler's like, whoa. But no, I this was the most hopeful conversation I had for tonight with regards to like the rest of the potential rest of the season with what could possibly be there.
Yes. Tyler warns Kaser about Memphis. Like, I don't think you're as close to Memphis as you think you are. And Kaser's like, I've been getting that since.
Tyler, last week didn't prove it. Tyler's saying that definitely did.
Yes. And Kaser also talks about like the pre-gaming. Tyler's like, yeah. I feel like these people have pre-existing relationships and there might have been some pre-gaming going on that I wasn't a part of. I thought Casey was going to be here. That was my thing. I almost didn't even come because I felt like I was going to walk into a trap, which I kind of did. And now I'm in this trap and I would love to have somebody like you to help me get out of it. And Kaser was like, yeah, that's what happened on the original All-Stars. There was so much pre-gaming. We got screwed because of it.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that, but I did pick that up when he said it.
So, after this conversation, Kaser goes to the hammock. He talks to the cameras just very briefly. He says, I got it wrong. I screwed it up. I think he believes Tyler. I'm curious to see what happens when he brings this to Janelle, assuming he brings it to Janelle. Janelle will probably be like, what? No, don't believe Tyler. But who knows? I do think this is a very promising start for Kaser's post-Janelle game. If if this lands, I do think Tyler is going to be able to potentially keep Kacer safe. Now, Cody's the biggest cheerleader for Tyler, Kacer has to go. And, yeah. But here's the problem, right? We now have Kacer on one side working his way in with Tyler. We have Bailey and Devon on the other side working their way, planning to work their way into Tyler.
Yeah.
And these are the two biggest targets, Devon and Kacer, heading into next week. So probably only one of them is going to be able to benefit from Tyler kind of vouching for them next week. And it seems like Kacer has gotten a bit of a head start at this point. So Bailey and Devon should really start working. Now, ideally, I think for us, Bailey and Devon approach Tyler and he's open to a slow start. And he also is working with Kacer on this other side. And then, I don't know, maybe like Memphis wins HOH. Memphis targets. Oh, man, but then Ian would go. But but like somebody else wins HOH and neither of those sides go home. And then eventually like a Kacer, Bailey, Tyler, Devon, kind of like they're able to sort of bring that together. And then I don't know. This is now I'm fan fictioning, but.
But even Devon is still like she's oftentimes been skeptical of Kacer in this game. And so well, just like
let me tell you the most likely thing, in my opinion. I think that we're going to see something like they're going to try and target Kacer next week. It's not going to be Tyler that does it, but somebody will do it. And then if Kacer wins the veto or if Devon continues to show that she doesn't trust the group, maybe there's like a Devon backdoor and Tyler goes, I had nothing to do with it, Bailey.
I had nothing to do with it.
And then if he's able to get away cleanly, then Tyler Bailey, Tyler Kacer, they come together. Tyler, you know, pulls in Christmas, pulls in David, and now he's got a group to go against Danny while he still tries to maintain his relationship with Cody.
And I would like that. I think that could definitely work because the people in that, where's Kevin at in this thing?
Kevin is just, Kevin probably runs to Cody, to be honest.
Sad.
Especially if Devon's gone, like that would have been his link. But that's a bad link to have. Like you don't want that. You don't want info running to Kevin at all.
Who doesn't know what to do with it, so he does everything with it. So yeah.
So we'll see. A lot of possibilities opening up from last night, I think. We'll have to see where it goes from here. But I'm very curious to see. I mean, hey, maybe Kacer wins HOH next week. That would be good for Kacer and Devon and Bailey. I don't know what Kacer would do if he's linked up with Tyler and he's got Tyler in his ear. But it's, I don't know. Well, it would be interesting.
And I feel like last night we also saw more of Janelle trying to make headway with trying to stay, even though it's kind of a lost cause, I feel like, at this point.
You know what I bet Tyler would want Kacer to do, thinking about it? Sorry to interrupt.
What?
I bet he would be like, yeah, Danny, she's dangerous.
Oh, I would definitely see that. I could see Kacer definitely doing it, and I would definitely be in love with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't put those thoughts in my mind, because now I'm getting excited about it.
This is my job. I get your hopes up so that they can crash down.
And then we see like Christmas and David on the block next week if Kacer.
Yeah, and it's going to be an endurance comp. So like Kacer's probably not going to win it, but
yeah. It's a wall. They were saying they think it'll be a wall comp with typically Danny has done really well at wall comps.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, they have changed it. Like the last wall comp we saw was the one Jackson dominated because it was all about like upper body strength.
Oh, yes. So. Upper body strength. Yeah.
But that would just mean like, you know, Cody or Memphis. I'd honestly take a Memphis over Cody.
You would? Yeah. I would not take a Memphis.
Well, Cody's just going to go two targets for Cody, I bet. Either Kacer or Devon go home for sure. Whereas Memphis will probably target Ian, but like...
Ian and David.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, David, but...
I would prefer David to go absolute, or hopefully we get David and Kevin. Why not?
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you today. Hopefully you enjoyed our updates. I do think there's a lot of interesting stuff that came last night. There's also a lot of interesting ramifications of what could happen based on last night. So that's what we've got. Anything else you want to bring up?
I just want to say there's potential for a lot of good things to happen after last night's conversations. But I also think a lot of groups, specifically Davon, Tyler, and Bailey, need to meet up. And I also think Davon and Bailey need to meet up just because when they do, I feel like they clock a lot of things that without having other people in their ear. And I feel like Bailey needs to trust her instincts, but also give off the appeal that I'm with you guys, as Davon can pick up on and do better at.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what we've got for you today. Jacob, where can people find you?
On Twitter, JacobJ_Jones. Right there. I can tweet about Big Brother, other things. Give me a follow. And yeah. Taryn, where can people find you at?
Well, thank you for asking, Jacob. You can find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarynArmstrong. Rob will be live later today with The Slop. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And of course, tomorrow night we'll have the Stock Watch Roundtable. We'll rate these players, we'll update the prices, and we'll see how you guys have done while playing on realitystockwatch.com. So thank you once more for joining us today. I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.